Welcome to another episode of the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker on this December 8th, 2021. We are nearing the end of the year 2021, and again, no one has died amongst our group, so that's always a good thing that we've survived another day. And today we have a very special guest. We have Mel Ortiz, who is the host of the podcast Misheard Lyrics. That's M-I-S-S. Heard Lyrics. And unfortunately, she will not get to be a fake lawyer with us today. She will be leaving at the halfway mark. But our client for today is, are you toxic or do you just need a shower?
Behold, trapped in a hellscape of their own invention, socially unaware old white men bound by the pretense of being fake lawyers yet knowing no law, no exquisite Latin terminology, they are inexplicably compelled to quibble over minutiae, squabble over triflings, and bicker like those who value their backyards far too highly without even knowing the difference between an easement and an alleyway. At this very moment, you have entered the heart of the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. Let's get started.
This episode of the Law Office of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker is brought to you by Paranoia Insurance. Do you have the persistent feeling that someone is out to get you or your way of life? Ever go down the night rabbit hole of trying to understand what Facebook and your Alexa know about you? Well, you just might be suffering from acute paranoia. Not fear. No, but fear not, pun intended. Paranoia Insurance has got you covered. Your easy payment of only $9.95 a month will provide you with 24/7 paranoia coverage. When those feelings start to creep in, you can call or visit one of our paranoia specialists at any time of day or night. Our trained professionals are standing by to assess your individual situation, the terms and category of your paranoia, and then explain to you quickly and easily that honestly, no one could possibly give two shits about you individually. Our existential engineers will help you understand that your life, in fact, everyone's life, is basically pointless and that the universe and Bill Gates couldn't give a shit about you. By the end of your session, you will take the tape off your laptop cam and start confessing childhood trauma to Siri. Who cares? The truth is, when it comes to you, no one. Well, maybe your mom, so call her. Paranoia Insurance, helping you keep it real because you don't really matter.
I like that one.
I think that's something that will sell well in this day and age. Our client for today is, are you toxic or do you just need a shower? So that's the client that we have for the day, and we'll be dealing with that later. Also, we'll be introducing a brand new segment called Ask Greg, and that'll be around the midway park. So if anybody in the future wants to participate in that, it's he'll be answering all your legal questions. And with his great training as a non-lawyer and his own unique insights. So that he has no idea what these questions
are. I'm scared.
But they'll be coming. All right. So why don't we move into Mel Ortiz. Mel has just recently done is working on her third season, has 119 episodes. Wow. I just got through listening to it before she came on with her recent take on the song Drift Away from Dobie Gray.
And, Uncle Cracker.
Yeah. Right. I was like, yeah, you picked the Uncle Cracker version. I thought that was kind of interesting. So I'll just get things started with why made you decide to do a podcast about mishearing lyrics? I mean, did you consider it in the time, in the beginning, that it would have this much longevity, that you'd be going for nearly 2 years talking about this?
Or yeah, I was surprised. You'd
do forever.
I am going to do it forever. You all know if you're singing karaoke, there's always many opportunities to hear someone sing a song wrong, or the actual song, you know, on karaoke, the lyrics are wrong. So I thought, oh, there's got to be a podcast about this. There was none. So, and then I thought, well, there's got to be a podcast playing on the words of Misheard, the M-I-S, none. So it was the universe obviously telling me, you need to do this podcast. And since then, from September 2020 or 2019, when I started this, there isn't a podcast yet. So I'm the only one of my kind. So it's been great learning this process throughout the way and meeting people internationally because of this love for Misheard song lyrics.
Now, you said the universe told you this. So, do you often listen to the universe about
I
things?
do. I
Yeah.
do, and it hasn't strayed me wrong yet.
What's the voice that you hear when the universe talks to you? Is it like Morgan
Does it
Freeman
sound like
or like
I
Madonna?
wish. It's my gut, I call it, and the gut kind of sounds like a Jewish grandma. And so usually when they're like, do this, I'm like, oh, they must know. And like I said, it's not proven me wrong.
So
So do you
you're
eat a lot of chicken soup?
Yes. And I don't know how to make matzo balls, but hopefully someday I'll learn.
just had matzo ball soup a couple of days ago. Could be
Yeah, so
trouble there.
that's what happened, Nat. I started doing it, and luckily I had some friends that helped. They have a local podcast on true crime, and they've been doing quite well. And I said, "Can you hold my hand for the first 3 months?" They did, and off I went. Now I'm kind of on my own since then.
And they taught you about cross-eyed bears.
Yes,
About
exactly.
what? But tell her about
Cross-eyed
what,
bears.
Greg? Cross-eyed bears?
Cross-eyed
Yes.
bears. That's what Alanis Morissette was apparently saying, and you ought to know.
Oh, I thought that
She
was
wouldn't
your
say
mascot,
cross to
Greg.
bear. She wasn't saying cross to bear.
Cross-eyed bear,
She was
yes.
saying cross-eyed bears. Yeah,
Well,
you
she
did
is
your
Canadian,
research.
so that makes some sense, actually.
There's a lot of cross-eyed bears up there, I hear.
Yeah, and I made a cross-eyed bear actual puppet. I mean, like bear. So when you're right, on episode two, I'm talking to those individuals that helped me start up this podcast, and that was her misheard song lyric for years, and she thought it was cross-eyed bear instead of the cross-eyed bear, which was hilarity ensues.
Brendan had an experience with a bear, not in Canada, but in Alaska. And I'm just wondering, was that polar bear cross-eyed, Brendan, that nearly killed you?
He was down at the beach eating the whale carcass, so I didn't get a good look at him.
I mean, it wasn't like Grizzly Man and got close. He wasn't that stupid.
I didn't
He
want
didn't
to.
stay far away.
I just
Right.
ran back to my tent and cried like a little girl for an hour.
It saved your life, though. You're still here to talk
I'm
about
still here. The bear didn't get me.
it.
Maybe it was cross-eyed, and so I didn't know which way I ran. I don't know.
Yeah, because I
Oh,
thought it was just
God.
like rhinoceroses that generally had like the eyesight issues. I
Ooh,
didn't
I didn't
realize
know
that these
that.
bears.
Do they?
Yeah,
I
they're
can.
like they're like nearsighted or something. They
They
have
got
trouble
gooch
seeing.
eyes?
They got what eyes?
Gooch eyes? Are they
Gooch eyes.
wall-eyed?
What's a gooch eye?
Yeah, what is that?
Gooch eyes when one of your eyes, lazy eyes, like looking off to the side.
Oh.
It's
How do
probably
you?
not
Oh.
sensitive to say to someone who has
I
that, but
was
I
gonna
was sure that's
say.
a gooch eye. He's got a gooch eye.
Where did you where what does the word gooch mean?
I
don't
Yes.
know. It's probably Italian. I don't know. It's
Okay.
probably Italian.
Gabagooch. Must be.
So, which again we was a callback to last week or the week before where we talked about capicola. So you're saying it's a meat eye by saying it's a gooch eye?
No.
Thinly
Gooch is
sliced
not
meat
Italian.
eyeball?
I
It's a
was joking. I don't
longer
know
eye.
why. It's just a word that somebody made up. Like when somebody has that lazy eye, the
Yeah.
eye that drifts off. I always grew up, it was like he's got a Gooch
It's got to be an Italian thing. I've never
It's
heard that
got to be.
one.
It sounds
Probably is,
Italian.
Or an upstate New York thing.
Could be.
Yeah.
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 Depending on how many
Oh.
Italians were
Or
there.
Greg Pettix thing. I just made up. I don't know.
You think that it
No,
was
but
like
it,
some kind of like abuse that you had as a child that you made you say that about somebody's eye?
It reminds me of
didn't
that.
sound nice. Now that
You're
I
still
say it
here,
out loud.
Mel. Disregard this. It's
No, it's all
No.
right. Well, when he started saying that, it reminded me of the famous actor that I love with Young Frankenstein. I love that movie with the guy with the, with that
Oh yeah,
gooch eye, that
Marty
actor.
Feldman.
Marty
Marty
Feldman.
Feldman. He
Yes.
had googly
He
eyes.
had a
They're
gooch
beyond
hump.
gooch. They were
goo goo googly eyes. Those are nuts as eyes.
Oh.
So I gotta say, I love your podcast. I just started listening to it because I mean, this shit,
Oh.
me and my friends always talk about this when we're,
Right?
it's almost like coming up with band names when you're drunk, fake band names. It's one of those things everyone talks about. And I gotta say, your first episode about Gloria, to this day, that song, I had this whole story in my head because there was a movie called Gloria in like
Yes.
the early 80s. And it has nothing to do with that movie, correct? So I thought
No.
it did. And I thought, and I thought she was, I didn't think she was saying an alien.
Yeah, what did you
I thought she
think?
was Elliot. Like there was this little kid named Elliot that she was
In the
trying to
movie?
protect. Yeah.
It, in the movie, she is protecting a little boy. Gloria is this like tough woman who has to protect this boy from, I don't know, nefarious forces. And I, that song, when I was a kid, I was like, am I missing something? It seems like a story song. Like, oh, she's protecting Elliot from who? I don't know. It just seemed very odd, that song, the lyrics.
And Greg, it's funny that you hear Elliot, because another KJ friend of mine heard Elliot and assumed it was also about E.T.
Yeah,
because you said that. Yes.
But I just thought it was the character from Gloria, because I think she protects a young boy in that or something.
Oh, actually, it's about the Untouchables, Greg. It's an entire song about Elliot Ness. That is correct.
Oh, and he had a female Elliot. Bodyguard named Gloria.
That's right.
To protect him.
Gloria was the name of his weapon.
His gun?
His gun?
Yes. His gun.
His nunchucks?
Like, ooh, even better.
His throwing right, stars?
Elliot Ness was known for his martial arts.
In his black belt.
Long years of training in China before he joined the FBI.
And Al Capone was known for his capoeira, so they were perfect enemies.
As his capoeira?
What did capoeira.
Capoeira?
The Brazilian martial arts dance. Yeah.
Capoeira, isn't that those big rodents in South America? Capoeiras?
Those are something else. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, capoeiras.
That's right. A capoeira.
I was going to say, if he had dangerous capoeiras, that's a movie I'd go see. Like attack rodents, like, I don't know, rabid.
Like
well, rodents. Brandon, it's funny you bring that up, because I was about to, like 10 years ago, I was looking into those things to get one as a pet.
You're going to get a capoeira? Not as yes. Like a food source, because that's what they were introduced
yes. As.
Yes. My daughter was trying to convince me not, like last week, that she was convinced the capoeiras were going to be the next big it animal.
Ooh, she might know
it
something.
Animal?
You know, like animals that become kind of like super popular, like, I don't know. A like capoeira. For a while there was... Yeah, for a while
like,
it was
like pot-belly pigs.
Pot-belly pigs. Yeah.
Sugar gliders had yes. Their moment.
Wait. Sugar glider? What the hell is that?
It's like a flying weasel.
Squirrel. Squirrel. Yes.
Squirrel.
Yes. The
flying weasel.
Yeah. And they live in your pocket and they're cute. They come out and then
sugar
is
glider.
That a sugar glider? Are you
before.
Excited to see me?
And they can fly around you like a drone.
No, they mostly just gracefully fall. You know,
yes.
They kind of go from weird somewhere to just down.
Oh, it's like Toy Story. They fall with style.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. But she was saying capybaras. I'm like, who would have a capybara as a pet? And I will now tell her I
yes.
Talked to someone who's considering it.
It's very so what stopped me, Brendan, is it's very expensive. You have to have a lot of you have to like literally find a vet in your area to show the state that you live in that you have a vet to take care of this very specific animal. And it worked out to be like $1,000 a month to feed and care for this thing. I'm like, not so much.
$1,000 a month to feed a rodent?
And take care. It's huge. It's like
they're big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The size of an ottoman. A big
the size
ottoman.
Of a, is a what, Greg?
An ottoman.
Like
a big
okay.
Ottoman.
Couldn't you just feed a popcorn
they're
the whole
huge.
Time?
They're huge. Knowing that they're a rodent that's that big, I saw it at the Portland Zoo. After hearing about capoeiras, sorry, I said capoeiras for years, it was horrifying knowing that it was a big rat, basically, the size of an ottoman. It was fucking huge.
I think it's bigger than an ottoman, Greg.
Matt, I think at the end of the show, we should have Greg say capoeira and...
Capoeira
a few times, just because he'll be more drunk at that point and it'll be more entertaining.
Then capo de capo.
Oh my god.
Capo Saint Martin, whatever.
Capo
what is your favorite misheard lyric? Like, what's the one where you go, oh my god, I can't believe they actually, that's what they thought they said when it's so obvious they said this?
Well, it's the one, good question, Brent. I think it was the one episode where I talked about Shake It Like a Polaroid Picture. People have sang it as Shake It Like a a Polar Bear Ninja.
What?
Shake It Like a Polar Bear Ninja.
Young kids who don't know what a Polaroid is. And
yeah, right. Exactly. Absolutely.
See, I don't think a Polaroid would be like a type of steroid. But you get it like in Alaska.
Yes,
polar
yes.
Bear ninja.
Ninja. Wow. Yes.
So, can you imagine if Elliot Ness went up against a polar bear ninja? That would be the best fight ever.
It totally went full circle.
Wasn't that a trauma film?
It should be.
Oh my Elliot God, Ness, Polar Bear Ninja Spy.
So I wanted to share one with you, Melody. That,
can you please? I want to hear.
You know Junior Mac, and I don't know if she ever told you this one, but she has a friend who really thought that What About Love by Heart, you know, yes. What About Love? No,
no. Yes.
She thought they were saying, What a Buffalo.
What a Buffalo.
Yeah, What a Buffalo. She thought Heart was actually singing, What a Buffalo is all I ever want from you. What a Buffalo.
Well, Heart was well known for their songs about bovines.
I just died when I heard that. I was like, that is one of the weirdest misheard lyrics I've ever heard.
Oh my God. You know what we need to do is if we all meet again for karaoke, take songs and just sing them with the wrong, you know, what people misheard.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And just go for it.
You know, I've done that because I'd like to share another one with you. Since I was a little, like I was 12 or something when it came out, Alicia Bridges, I believe, I Love the Nightlife.
Yes.
I always thought she was going, I love the nightlife. I got the boogie. On the disco jihad, oh yeah. And I don't know what a disco jihad would entail.
It would be
like
awesome.
People in leisure suits and gold chains, like
picking out God. I thought you were going to talk about the action part, the action. I thought she was saying at the Sean. I'm like, what's the Sean? Like, I knew Bill Shonley with the blazer. I'm like,
the Sean? This...
Yeah. Action. Yeah.
So, yeah. She says it very weird. But yeah. Like, when I was, and it's actually better than what she says because she really just goes, uh-huh. Putting words, she just went, uh-huh.
Yes, it does. But like I heard jihad.
Disco Jihad.
I think Disco Jihad definitely has legs for a screenplay. Of some
I
kind.
Want a I trauma want a, film. I think we need to add that shirt to our merch store. Disco Jihad.
But wasn't there a song actually about like death on the dance floor or something like that? Wasn't there a song similar to that?
Is
that
it?
Came out?
There's disco and panic at the disco.
Yeah.
Right, that's a little different. I mean, panic and the jihad are completely...
I might panic
with the disco jihad was... about you.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's why they were panicked. Some jihad was getting down.
Wait, the Eagles of Death Metal weren't disco-y at all, were they? Because I just went to a dark place in my head.
I thought that was most of the places in your head.
Well, do you remember there was that news story like 7 years ago where the jihadists in France went to an Eagles of Death Metal concert and like killed a lot of people?
Yes. And actually, I know the lady that used to be married to, you know, that group, one of the guys in that group.
Oh, yeah. Really?
She was married to the entire group.
Yes, that too.
They were Mormons.
But yeah, it happened.
Reverse Mormons.
The Mormons of Death Metal.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But yeah, I know of that story because I remember it happened like in 2015, 2016. Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg was responsible. Greg made it happen. He gave them the addresses from what I've
But I'm, I'm amazed that Greg at age 12 even heard of the word jihad. I don't think I even knew about the jihad when I was 12.
I read a lot of Time magazine when I was 12 for some reason. And Newsweek.
That does it.
That explains a lot of things. It does. Yeah. Greg is reading Time magazine at the age of 12. What does that do for your social skills, Greg, at that time? Talking to other kids about current events.
I could talk about the gross national product and the deficit, and all the kids were like, tell us more, Greg. You're so cool.
While the rest of us were watching Disney and Mutual of Omaha, Greg was watching 60 Minutes.
I was reading Tiger Beat. I don't know about you. Yeah. So,
what year was it when you were? What year were you 12, Greg? What year was that?
That would be 79, the Iranian Revolution.
Okay. So that was around the time when the Shah of Iran got deposed and Carter was president, right?
Carter was president. Yep.
79. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to History, the podcast.
It's the history offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker.
That's when we learned that
building the Erie Canal.
I do have one more, Mel. Is like to this day, I still think it sounds right. Is I always thought in Betty Davis' eyes,
oh, yes,
they were me and my brothers and sisters all thought all the boys think she's a spaz. She's got. Spaz. I think they were saying spaz. And the first time I went to karaoke, like 15 years ago or whatever, I saw the word spy. And I was like, that's what she's saying? Are you serious all this time? But I guess it makes sense because that would be weird lyric.
We thought
it's interchangeable. Too. Yeah, spy, spaz.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was at least one movie where Betty Davis was a spaz in it.
Yes, many.
Well, James Bond was known as a great spaz.
James Bond?
What song was that? What song
when he was a note, when he wasn't being a spy, he was a spaz.
He was a spaz.
It's interchangeable.
Oh, I see. You were doing a spy connection. What about Maxwell Smart? That's where we're going to go with famous spies here.
Oh, he was a definite spaz.
And what about every member of the cast of Revenge of the Nerds? Were they all spies?
Oh,
my God.
Oh, I love that. Only Booger. That's hilarious.
Okay.
Only Booger.
Whichever one there was a spaz had the likelihood of being a spy. I think that's how they recruit them for the CIA, actually. They go to high schools and they find kids that are ostracized who people call spazzes, and they're like, we want you
no one
to
would
protect our country. That's right. No, and exactly. That's where Edward Snowden comes from. If there's anyone who's a spaz, take a look at Edward Snowden sometime.
It just so you know, Matt, you're not far from the truth. If you do well on the SATs and you refuse the military and you say you want to be a spy, the CIA will call you. I know.
Oh.
Why didn't you sign up?
It freaked me the hell out. My mom goes, there's someone on the phone for you. I'm like, she was really old. I'm like, who is your mom? She goes, he says he's from the Central Intelligence Agency. I'm like, that's one of my friends. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, is this Brendan Haggerty? I'm like, yeah.
Wait, so let's rewind this a second.
Yeah, let's unpack that.
So what is the circumstance again that caused the CIA to call you?
They do that. They look for smart
just
people.
Let him tell it, Greg, for crying out loud. I asked him the question, not you, Assassin's Creed Day.
They had gone through our high school, and they were doing all the SAT tests and all that, and they were, you know, it was Bremerton. You know Bremerton. It's a military town, and so they're lining everybody up, and you are Marines, and you're this, and you're that. And I was near the top, so they had the recruiters there. They had a guy from the Air Force. And I came in to talk to him, and he was giving me his Air Force pitch and how well I did. And, you know, not a lot of people qualify for the Air Force, blah, blah, blah. I said, I don't want to be in the military, but I would consider being a spy. And he goes, are you serious about that? I'm like,
oh,
yeah, sure. I go, do you have a spy? I'm just fucking with the guy. I'm like, do you have a spy thing in the Air Force I can sign up for? You know, fly the spy plane, you know? And he's like, no, but I can put somebody in contact. Should I share your information? I'm like, yeah, sure. Sure enough, a week later, the guy called me.
Okay, oh so you gave him the okay to share the information.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because I came really close to being a spy too, but it was different circumstances. It was an Army recruiter, and I was actually about to if my dad had signed the form, I would have gone to cryptography school, and then I would have gone to counterintelligence school, and that would have been my career. It was the exact same day that I was accepted to college, and my dad was was in the Navy, and he's like none of my kids are going to join the military.
Did you go through the military then? I did not. I went to college.
I probably should have joined the military because I never finished college, and I went for 5 years. So
I gotta ask Melody though. Melody, what do you do when you're not podcasting? What's your
she's a spy
like, yeah, I'm a spy. So the thing I do to pay the bills, so to speak, is I work for a health tech company out of San Fran. Yeah.
But you're in Oregon, so that's nice. You get to commute from home?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it was before the whole COVID thing, but now for sure, they're like, that's it. We don't need our offices for you to go into, although we have a WeWorks we can go in, but we're all pretty much working from home now.
Because that's actually, the picture behind her is where the offices are.
The office. Yes.
In the middle of the misty mountain oceans? Is that Mordor in the back?
You never know.
I believe that's the Kraken rising out of the water.
Cthulhu's homeland. That's an interesting.
Well, the funny thing about that, Brendan, is I got that on Amazon. One of my clients said, I saw her back. I'm like, well, that's a cool background. She goes, just get it on Amazon. And, you know, it's like a sticker. And I She made it sound very easy. It's wallpaper, essentially. Oh. A lot of work to get it up there. So yeah.
Wallpaper is hard. It's true.
It's hard.
Did you do it by yourself? Did you get it up there by yourself?
I did all by myself. And after that, it's like, I can see why people who do wallpaper get a lot of money. It's very hard. Very hard.
But the other time with the decals on the models when I was a kid, I was constantly just jerking at the last minute, like, right now the little star. Oh, now it's somewhere on the windshield.
It's off.
It sounds exactly like everything I've ever tried to stick something onto.
You lick it again, you try to. No, it's not
going to
work.
You already lost that.
I've just got these hands. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say one of the things I do want to is the weird phenomenon of misheard, where it's a song that, you know, this is the right, I'll give you an example, but then it sounds to the ear something else. So one listener, like in France, sent me a thing like, can you do it on the song Minute Works? It's a Mistake. So that goes, it's a mistake. But when you hear it, it almost sounds like it's Honest Abe. It's really weird for your ear. And when you sing it, and I hear it now, and I watch the video, it's like, oh my God, it does sound like it's Honest Abe. It's so strange.
Because they're Australian. And it's like, why would they care about Lincoln Honest there. Abe?
He freed the Aborigines.
There it is.
And so we're not familiar with how much the Australians love all of the U.S. presidents, especially.
Have you ever found, Melody, that you've misheard lyrics, and then when you find out the real lyrics, you like your misheard ones more?
Yes.
And you continue to do them?
Yes.
I've done that before. There's a Richard Hell song. Okay. For years, I listened to it, and then somebody put it on karaoke on the internet.
Okay.
On YouTube. And I was just like, that's not nearly as good as the lyrics I thought. That were in my head. And so I continue to sing it with my lyrics. I ignore the lyrics on the screen.
That's why I end each podcast is keep singing those songs wrong. Enjoy it, you know, just embrace it because all of us do it.
I'm sorry, it was a Johnny Thunder song. I misspoke.
Richard Hell, Johnny Thunder, Bob Tornado. What other type of interesting last name to come up with?
Tsunami.
Freddy Hellcat.
I was going to ask Matt and Brendan, what are your famous, I guess, misheard songs like you always thought was, you know, something else?
Well, my problem is that as a karaoke host, prior to getting into karaoke, I had a lot of words, a lot of songs where I misheard them. And then getting into karaoke, I've seen all the correct lyrics now, so I can never remember anymore what were the ones that I misheard. The only one that sticks in my mind is a guy in college who kept trying to tell me that there were certain lyrics to the song Locomotive Breath from Jethro Tull, which I knew was not the case, but he was like, no, this is the actual lyrics, you know, and I later confirmed, you know, as I got older, that it was definitely not the lyrics, but it was, and I can't remember what the actual lyric is, but it had to do with a watchtower buoy was the line that he said.
Watchtower buoy.
Yes. And I'm like, that is not what they're saying.
So is that on a balloon? Like it's a little floating buoy that goes during the watchtower?
I have no idea. But he was like adamant that that was the lyric. I'm like, I'm really sure that it doesn't make sense with the song. It's a song about a locomotive. They're not in the water.
But any Jethro Tull lyrics really make sense, Matt?
I was going to say.
Agreed.
Lots of them do. He's one of the master lyricists. So sorry there.
But hey, Matt, since you're the host, do you ever get people looking at you strangely like, hey, they think it's this lyric and then they see it correctly and then they like blame you as the host, like, did you switch this?
I accept all blame at karaoke shows. Anything that goes wrong, they look at me and I'm like, yeah, I did it. I made sure that you had feedback right there on purpose, and I misprinted the lyrics from the manufacturer. And everything I did. So I,
you know, I can vouch for this. I once went to Matt's show and I shit my pants and Matt was paying for it. He's that good.
Did I even talked his bottom afterwards? So it was necessary.
He's a good KJ. That's a good KJ.
Luckily, there was a family-friendly bathroom nearby that I could take him to. Anyway, Brendan, she asked you also if you had heard.
Yeah, what's your?
You were telling me about a song, Yellow Ledbetter from Pearl
Jam. Yeah, Yellow Ledbetter from Pearl Jam. And I still don't really know the words to that song. And have made up my own words over the years, which sort of change every time I listen to it. And then I stumbled across a YouTube, because I was listening to Pearl Jam or somebody, I stumbled across somebody who had done a YouTube video of the misheard lyrics, and it was fantastic. I can't hear anything. There's the one part where I don't know what he's saying, but they made it say, make me fries. I think he's saying, it makes me cry, but you don't know. But in the video, they had this woman at like a McDonald's looking very shocked, and they go, make me fries. And she's saying, yeah, it's so good. And there's a whole bunch. I highly recommend you look that one up.
I wrote it down. I'm checking
it's so
it out.
Funny. So funny. Because the whole thing is misheard, in my opinion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which song do you think has the most misheard lyrics in it?
Probably there's a bathroom on the right. CCR.
I think people are just making fun of that. I don't think they actually miss.
There's a bathroom on the right.
Because that's also like there's a baboon on the right.
I never heard of that. Okay.
Baboon.
One of the ways baboon. I change it. Yeah.
The one I always heard was "Excuse me while I kiss this guy."
That's the most one, Greg, that people have said. Yes.
Yeah.
I will say in karaoke, one of the worst translated lyrics from a manufacturer in terms of a song is the song Salisbury Hill by a certain manufacturer, where so many of the lyrics are just wrong, and you're like, who did this? Who wrote them? Like, this is so incorrect. The various different words that are on the screen, you're like, I don't know where.
Is it the lyrics to If You Want to Be My Lover by the Spice Girls? Like, they just put up those lyrics?
No,
is
it's just certain words are just not the right words. Oh, they don't even sound like the right words.
Because that would be really bad.
But I would think that in terms of songs that people would be mishearing throughout time before karaoke came along, it'd have to be from like Bohemian Rhapsody, where he's like talking about so weird much. Words that people don't normally hear, like Scaramouche and Silhouetto and you know, Beelzebub and I forget what others. Another one.
I think we all heard them correctly.
Bismillah, like nobody knows Bismillah unless they're Arabic. So.
Yes. Yeah, we heard them correctly, Matt. They were just nonsense words. We all heard them.
Yeah, they're actually do mean something, Greg. Those
I thought the lyric in Roundabout as a kid, I'm just remembering this, was Muppets come out of the sky.
Ooh, that would have been awesome. I love
Muppets come out of the sky. It's kind of like, yes, this would be great.
Oh, yeah, we had a whole episode on song lyrics. It was actually the very first episode Brendan joined the show. Which was Song Lyrics on Trial is our very third episode. So if you're interested in hearing where that insanity went, that was a fun one.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. This this what they call mondegreens, which is the actual terminology of misheard song lyrics.
Wait, a mondegreen?
It's an actual word. And it came from a misheard song back in the, I think we talk about episode 4 or 5, where if you look that up, they thought the lady was laying on the something green, and they called it mondegreen, that they made a word from the misheard song lyric. So it's an actual terminology. Yes.
Got it. Isn't there a term for words like that are made up, though? Isn't there like another word that explains those kinds of words?
There is.
I thought Greg might be able to come up with it, because I can't remember it from now. It's like, it's not a malapropism. It's called the opposite of that.
A Mandalorian.
No. A Mandalorian.
Oh God. Well, all of you. I wish I could stay longer, but I appreciate the invite the laughs. You know,
right? Because you've got a notary public. And you know, speaking of misheard words, for the longest time as a kid, whenever somebody said notary public, I was like, why are they taking a note of a republic?
Exactly.
Notary public.
Yeah, it never made sense.
Notary public.
Well, I appreciate the invite. Hopefully I can connect with you guys either in person or at some other episode.
Maybe we'll just all three of us do a different episode of your show to, you know, give you additional content or something.
Yes, I would love that. Dissect it. So yes, for sure.
We'll have Greg come on and talk about whatever the hell he was talking about before.
I'm talking about water buffaloes.
I like
water buffaloes. I thought it was Gucci eyes or something.
Water buffalo.
Asses and disco jihads.
Yes.
I'm making that t-shirt. Jihad. Disco Jihad.
You need to. That's an amazing
I feel like I should just hand over all the information to our merch store, Brendan, so that you can take over, because I don't do jack on it.
I will make so many t-shirt designs.
T-shirts and drinky thingies.
Beer cozies. Things.
Yeah,
yeah, just all sorts of I'll things. Just go through all the past show descriptions and just pull the best stuff out and make t-shirts out of them.
And best is relative, of course.
Oh, it's definitely relative.
Well, I want to thank Melody Ortiz very much for coming on from Misheard Lyrics. And your website is pod.co/miss-heard-song-lyrics.
Yes.
Because I was listening to her podcast and it said Misheard Lyrics after pod.co and I couldn't find it. And then I found that it had to have dashes between those words.
Otherwise, or you can just Google Google just Misheard Song Lyrics and I keep popping up now since I have so many episodes. So that's one way to find me too.
Yeah, because you've got like 9 million listeners now, right?
Not that high, but pretty good. Pretty good. I'll take it. You know what I mean?
53 million listeners she has, everyone.
And
so
growing.
You should listen as well.
Honored to have you.
Well, thank you all. Have a good rest of your week. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have one new segment coming up, so you're gonna unfortunately miss that. But this should be published tomorrow morning, though, so you should be
okay.
Good.
Thank you all. Have a good night. I love you.
Good night.
Good night.
We have come to the middle of the show, and it is time now for our cooking segment. Everybody, from this guy. Those who know him, and then Greg goes to the bathroom.
Food is eaten. Food is eaten. Food is eaten with Waspy Soda Pop.
Hey there, everybody. This is Waspy Soda Pop once again with a mouth-watering new recipe that you can make in your very own home or somebody else's home or even over one of those barrels that got fires burning in them that you see under overpasses and stuff. You can make this there too. This is just a basic recipe. It's called pasta with horse meat and leeks. Here are your ingredients. You want to get 320 grams of fusilli pasta. You can find that at a grocery store. If you don't like that kind of pasta, just get whatever kind you like. You want to get 2 leek stems. They're kind of like green onions, but they're leeks. But don't try to put any water in them because the water will come out. Get it? It leaks. Anyway, then you want to get 1/2 pound of thinly sliced rocking horse meat, 4 tablespoons of grated Parmesan cheese, 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, and 250 milliliters of cooking cream. That's cooking cream, everybody. Not tasty whipped cream with sugar. You don't want to use that. It'll make everything taste a little bit funky. Anyway, here are your directions. So first, you want to bring a large pot of salted water to a boil. Cook the pasta as indicated on the package. We say package, we mean what the pasta came in, not the other thing that people's minds are going to right now. And you have dirty, filthy minds. And then you want to rinse the leeks. Remove the dark leaf end and the root end. Slice the leeks into rings, into many rings, just like the Nazgul had in Lord of the Rings, but it can't be controlled by the Dark One. All right, then you warm the oil in a skillet and add the sliced leeks. You want to cook those for about 3 minutes. You're going to add your rocking horse meat and then cook that for 5 minutes over medium heat until it's just a slightly bit not so hard because, you know, rocking horse is, you know, it's a little bit woody. So then you add your cooking cream, mix it well, drain the pasta and add it to the skillet. Add grated Parmesan cheese, toss it well to coat it, and sprinkle with chives and serve it immediately. And there you have it. So easy. Pasta with rocking horse meat and leeks. Again, don't put water in it because it leaks. Anyway, this is Waspy Soda Pop. This is food is for eating.
Rocking horse meat, really?
Rocking horse meat.
You're muted, Matt.
It's just you never know where the ingredients are going to come from.
I didn't catch that it was rocking horse meat until almost the end.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to the middle.
It was a misheard recipe. I was like, what?
Yeah. I think he does it like so you don't quite get it when you're getting the ingredients list, but then it's like further emphasized later on so that
so at the beginning you didn't well say known. Rocking horse meat.
Yeah, I guess it's like not giving away the secret or something. I have no idea.
I thought it was like Rocky Mountain meat or something. I don't know.
Rocky Mountain oyster meat.
I know I started getting testicles pictures, but you know, maybe that was just
you're just starting to get testicles.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah,
they're
just
finally growing in.
Finally dropping.
All right, well, yeah, so there's Waspy for the week, bringing us closer to the holidays. And that is, I don't think, is a holiday recipe whatsoever. But since Greg is in rare form right now, we should move into our next segment. This is our newest segment, everybody.
Am I that rare right now?
Yeah, I mean, you need to be cooked a little bit longer. So our newest segment, which we're testing today, so welcome to the experiment, everyone, is Ask Greg. This is where we take your legal questions, and Greg will give you his best informed answer to that question. And so Brendan, I believe, has a question, and I have one for Greg as well. So Brendan, if you would like to start things
off,
feel free.
I have two questions.
Oh.
We can do either one or both, but one is in the family law category. And this writer says, "Dear Greg, is it possible for me to unadopt my kids? I hate them now and certainly don't want to pay child support. Also, can I sue my ex? He pooped on my cat." This is a real question from a real person to an actual lawyer.
Okay, well, there's a legal precedent set in the movie Kramer versus Kramer where you could unadopt your child. That is, there's precedent for that. It depends on how ugly they are. If they're really homely, you'll definitely, things could go your way. The judge will, you know, understand because nobody wants that. And, you know, you didn't sign up for that. You adopted a kid when he's little, then he grows up to be some uggo, and you're like, come on. And then the second question, you'd have to repeat.
Can I sue my ex? He pooped on my cat.
I'm trying to think of the legal precedent of that. I think it was Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy, 1986.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where that did happen, but the judge ruled that no laws were broken. So there's no law saying you can't poop on a cat. So
in that case, wasn't the cat, was actually like a part of it. Like the cat was willing. Didn't they?
Well, even if it wasn't willing, there's no law against it. Even an unwilling cat, you're allowed to poop on any cat you want. There's no law. There's in one county in Alabama, there is a blue law that says that, but they also have a law that says that slavery is still legal in that county. So,
which county is that, Greg?
Those are related.
Bama-Lama County.
Bama-Lama. I think that's Bama-Lama Ding Dong.
Bama-Lama County in Alabama.
Bama-Lama Ding Dong County in Alabama.
Bama-Lama, Alabama.
Alabama, Alabama.
Well, that's okay. I've got one legal question for you, Greg.
Yes.
So, what financial compensation can I recover in a maritime law claim? That is the question being posed to you.
Well, salvage, of course. You can get all the salvage. Uh-huh. But I mean, I need more specifics. Like, what kind of maritime claim? Lake, out of lake?
Well, for example, accident victims are entitled to recover monetary damages for losses and expenses suffered from accidents. So let's say under the Jones Act, would injured seamen also be entitled to maintenance and cure benefits? You know, especially under the Jones Act.
I think injured seamen is always entitled to maintenance.
Yes,
that's just.
Well, Greg is the authority here, though. So Greg,
especially turkey seamen. Sorry.
Call back.
Well, there was a precedent of this during the Spanish Armada of 1520. A lot of the seamen who were injured during that failed attack on England, when they came back, they were given a lifelong paella. The judge said they had paella for life, and the company, the army, had to give them paella every day.
Okay. So then they don't get financial compensation, they get paella compensation.
Well, that was financial. That's a lot of money. Paella for life? The lobsters in there and
Yeah, but
crab?
you can't pay a bill with it.
Well, I mean, it kind of implies that financial compensation, you could adjust it, not just paella. In another country, you might get, I don't
Payola.
know, pogs or
Pogs.
whatever, something worth value. It could be
Pogs.
money, pogs.
Tiddlywinks.
Yeah, tiddlywinks, Hummel figurines. In some countries, that's what's given seamen who've been wronged. It's some kind of compensation, which implies that, monetary compensation could be substituted for that.
Okay, so that answers the questions. You can get paella, you can get pogs, you
Or
can
even
get
money,
Hummel
yeah.
figurines, and maybe even
Depending on
money.
the judge, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. All right, well, this ends our newest segment, Ask Greg. Excellent job, Greg,
That
with
went
your
great.
responses.
That
I
went
think
so well.
it's definitely got legs to it. It's I think something we can certainly do on a pretty regular basis. All right, let's get into our client because we're running short on time. So our client for today is, are you toxic or do you just need a shower? And this is something we probably should have given a lot more time to, which is essentially dealing with toxic personality traits, or is it something that's just misunderstood? Is it really toxic? Is a person really toxic, or are they just is it a mistake? Yeah, they just smell funny. So I think maybe we should get a little bit into like what are some characteristics of toxicity in a personality and kind of move from there.
Doesn't that just mean you're an asshole? I mean, it's a relatively new term, this toxic. We didn't grow
Well,
up here. People are
I
toxic.
think it's dialing into the assholeness's specifics, the subcategories under being an asshole. And it's more than just being an asshole. Sometimes it comes under the heading of just evil, So you can be an asshole without being evil. You know what I mean? So
That's true.
I'll just list out some. You guys can agree or not. So we got emotional manipulation, which is like somebody who's doing things like passive aggressively or in a backhanded way, or they make jokes about
Oh
something sensitive to get a rise out of you, or they
no.
withhold affection
Oh
to punish you for no reason. They just want to make you
no.
squirm. So that's my first point in my direction. So that's I apparently I'll be finding out all of my behaviors. Anyway, dishonesty is another one. Like deceit, lying, general secrecy, gaslighting, which is when somebody denies your reality by saying things like, "Oh, you're being too dramatic," or "You're making things up," when you try to say your own thoughts or feelings. A lack of accountability. Like toxic people don't want to take the blame for anything, and they make sure they don't. They'll deflect the blame onto other people.
This
Lack
sounds
of
just like,
boundaries. What's that?
I was gonna say, this just sounds like some pussy's list of grievances of real life.
So
Like
they're just
someone
being,
who,
are you saying they're just being dramatic, Brendan?
well, they're just pussies, for God's This
sake.
sounds like someone who needs a safe
Oh,
space. They need a
yeah. This
safe
sounds.
space.
Well, I think it's all of these traits as one. So then we have lack of boundaries, where people have no concept over respect for boundaries. In other words, you set a boundary and they'll trample over it, and they'll say that you're being too sensitive if you get upset when your boundary is crossed.
Does that
So,
sound, am I right
oh.
or am I right? Does that sound like a pussy? This is written by a serious wimp. You've crossed my boundaries. You're toxic. Are you
Does
reading the lyrics from Britney Spears' song, Matt?
unsupportive is another one.
Is this
Does
a
the
Britney
person
Spears
support your goals and dreams? Are they happy for you when something goes right in your
Oh.
life? Are they interested in what you, in your wants and your needs?
They don't support your dreams, makes you toxic. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't want to make a ridiculous podcast when you're drunk. I don't think anyone's toxic for not supporting my
No.
ship. I'm sure you could be a ballerina at 40. You just need to put it out there in the universe. Thank you, Brandon. You're not toxic. You just proved you're not
I'm
toxic.
going into the NFL.
I would support you. They create stress, depletion, and negativity to those around them. They leave you feeling exhausted when you talk to them.
No,
Power dynamics, where they
those
don't
are
want
image
relationships with
vampires.
mutual respect and reciprocity, but rather ones where they have the upper hand and they can manipulate the people around them.
This all sounds like assholism, man. It's
I
yeah, this is what
said
assholes.
it's like breaking down assholism.
Yeah.
In other words,
But
it's like
when
the
people say
subcategories.
toxic, they don't get into it like you're getting into it. They just say that person's toxic. They
Yeah.
don't aren't as specific, just like people say he's an asshole. So this is like, you could say the same thing about Elvis for, is someone an asshole, I think.
Right. I'm just saying it gets into a little more detail in terms of what makes them an asshole. What are the specific things that are done to describe that asshole?
Can I just say the negativity thing? I would say, I've never used the term.
Greg, I think you're gaslighting Matt right now. I think you're denying his reality that really what toxicity is a dialing down of assholery.
But I do think that I've never used the term toxic, the word, but I do get the idea. Like people, I've known people who are pretty nice. They're not horrible people, but they're always negative and down, and it's just like draining, and I don't want to be around them. And so I wouldn't call that toxic, though. I'd just be like, that person's a downer, or, you know, a gloomy guess.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Well, I'll continue. Just a couple more. So then we have encouraging codependency, which is, you know, they will not only encourage but create a codependent dynamic so that your trust in your own self gets diminished, and it makes you have to lean on that person even further because that means you need them more, and they want to do their ultimate best to isolate you from people in your life as well. That's like another thing they try to do.
Oh, so like marriage.
Right, where you do not allow Holly to have friends, or she comes friendly with somebody, you cut her off from those people so that she can never talk to them again. And,
you don't support Holly's dream to become an Olympic swimmer.
Olympic actor.
Swimmer.
Then inciting drama. Toxic people want to make you squirm, so they can't seem to resist starting fights. So in other words, they have an example here. They may know you have an early morning the next day, and they ask you to do something late that night just so you have to say no and set that boundary, because then they'll tell you you're being difficult or demanding because you won't do what they want.
This is you. You're describing you.
I told you, like, there are going to be traits here of mine that are definitely going to come out. And so finally, insincere apologies. So sophisticated toxic people who know when they've done wrong because they did it on purpose, they might apologize to you, but that apology won't be sincere. They make it all about you, and they make it all your fault with phrases like, I'm sorry you think I was wrong, or I'm sorry if I upset you. And remember that an apology without change is manipulation in its own right. So, well, I mean, you're having a question regarding what does toxic mean then, Greg's, because you don't want to use that word. I mean, you recognize that the word toxic has a definition, right?
I guess, but it just sounds like some modern word that wasn't needed just because Britney Spears wrote a song about it.
It comes from her?
I don't think she's the derivation of the word toxic.
No, but she popularized the term. It became this.
You really? That may be her greatest gift to mankind, then. I mean, I think more people know that term than know the song.
Yeah.
Toxic just means something's poisonous or something very harmful or bad. That's what the word toxic means. A person could be poisonous to another person, not like literally poisonous, but, you know, causes them to get sick or unwell in some way. They drain their mental health. They affect them in ways that cause them to get fucked up.
DeVoe already start this 20 years, 30 years ago with poison?
Maybe.
That girl is poison. They could have just said toxic. They started it.
I think people putting labels on people is stupid.
Isn't saying it's stupid putting a label on them?
Yeah, it is. No, not them. Not the person. The idea, the act of doing that. Not the person. The person isn't stupid for doing it because they're kind of encouraged to do it. Because it's just a shitty way out of just dealing with your shit.
We haven't said they're a toxic person because they have toxic traits.
That person's toxic. I'm clearing my life of all the toxic people in my life. I don't want to get any.
Or people with toxic behavior. There's toxic behavior. You can label behavior, right?
I'm just cutting them out of my life. Yeah, but you're not going to cut. What are you going to? I mean, you have to label the person and go, that person's toxic. I don't have anything to do.
Well, I mean, if you label them an asshole, you can say the same thing. You know, that person's an asshole. I'm not going to have anything to do with them anymore.
But right? I don't get assholes in my life. Assholes, though. I have friends that are assholes. That's
I have no friends.
I think it depends upon the nature of the asshole. For example,
Dad, if I followed every rule of toxic, I'd have no friends. If I was like, I'm cutting those people out of my life.
All of your friends are toxic, Greg, because you were the one that they like to manipulate.
all the little things you said, oh, you know, like,
wow, this is getting a little real here. It's getting a little real from Matt.
It's like Greg is the perfect whipping boy for toxic people.
Tell us more about that.
He's surrounded by toxicity because he is so fun to manipulate and
cause harm to. According to that list you read, we all are. All of our friends have those traits. Sometimes they're like not there for you. Sometimes they're like, whatever. They're toxic, according to that list you just rattled off.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that this is defining a toxic person. This is defining toxic behavior.
Yeah, I could have jumped to the conclusion that this person's toxic because they didn't support my dreams. They didn't
I made
do
a whole
this.
Career out of manipulating people. So,
yeah,
I'm toxic.
You get paid for being toxic.
I do. I get paid. The more toxic I am, the more I get paid.
I think I'm getting a very good understanding of the three of us here that perhaps we should be changing the name of the podcast to the Toxic Podcast.
The long distance of toxic, toxic, and toxic. Three shitty brothers who started a law firm.
You were trying to get away from assholes. You've come to the wrong place.
This is the asshole HQ.
This today is Asshole Central. Welcome. On the menu is gaslighting, negativity, and boundary crossing, and as an appetizer, codependency.
Oh, I wish I had a phone number set up so people can call us so we can do this to all of our listeners.
If you're looking to be called overly dramatic or having far too much free time, give us a call. We'll ruin your life for you.
We'll be toxic.
And we'll call happy you to at take midnight.
If your life was too good, if people were too friendly and you had helicopter parents, we'll take care of that problem for you. We'll give you the right amount of mental illness that you need. Call today.
Welcome to the Toxic Hotline. What are your pronouns and what is your syndrome? All right. Let me pass you through to Greg. He's an excellent person in people with self-loathing issues. Hold on. Let me transfer you.
Have you ever heard the word pussy to describe you? Well, let's explain. Here's why.
I can tell them, you know, like,
that'll be bringing
like
in department
myself,
four.
And you're even worse than me.
Who is this? Oh, you fucking pussy. What did she say? Oh, my God. Grow a penis, you fag. God.
And then we will call you on the days you have to work in early in the morning at midnight if you give us your number. Hey, come on, let's chat. What? You're not there for me?
This episode started out so friendly.
You're going to blow me off?
Hey, are you sleeping, you pussy? Get up. Come on. We got shit to do. I'll meet you at your house in 10 minutes. I got a couch to move. I don't care what time you got to get up. I'll be right over.
Let's go break into that house right now. Stay up late. I know you got stuff to do in the morning, but come on. It's time for drinking.
Let's do some crimes.
Do crimes. That's what we're all about. Well, all right. Or do we just need a shower?
I think people just need to take a shower. Cold or otherwise. Something, you know.
I think there's some legitimacy to that list, though. I mean, there's definitely people who are manipulating other people, and they're doing it fuck with their heads and to ruin their lives or to get what they want from those people. And I don't think those are illegitimate things to categorize.
I would like to say they're more in the minority than people seem to like to believe. Like, there's some people out there who think people are gaslighting them left and right or manipulating them. It's like, no, people are human. Maybe once in a blue moon, someone will be like, come on, help me out. Like, oh, they're just trying to use me. It's like, everyone isn't perfect. It's just, but it seems like some people think that, like, there's a huge percentage of people they meet that are like, I'm trying to fuck with your head. I'm Machiavelli. I'm fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, wisdom in the fact that you can't control how people behave toward you necessarily, but you can control how you yourself deal with it. And I think we should spend more time, people should spend more self-reflection on how they're dealing with these toxic personalities rather than, ostracizing these toxic personalities or try to drive them out of their life, which is damn near impossible, especially given that list. That's like everybody. Like, what are you going to do? My mom's toxic. I don't want to talk to her anymore. Well, fuck, she's your mother. Get over it. You know, learn how to deal with it yourself. If she guilts you, just know that that's what she's doing and she's got her own bullshit and move on. Pass the fucking pasta salad.
The pasta salad.
The toxic salad, you mean.
The toxic side. Happy holidays, everyone. Enjoy your time with your family. We're all the toxic.
Welcome to Brendan's get the fuck over it speech.
Also, welcome to Brendan makes up a new aphorism that I'm going to say from now on.
Which word?
Pasta salad. It's just a pasta salad.
It's just a pasta salad. That's right. Anyway.
You have to explain that one to me, Greg.
I don't know. I was literally talking about
Brendan
pasta
said
salad.
It,
he was talking about actual pasta salad, Greg.
Like I was at Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, and Uncle Vito is being fucking toxic because he's being a racist asshole. And I just say, pass the pasta salad because fuck him. Anyway, whatever. That's Uncle Vito. Yeah.
So you're slamming Italians now again. You're slamming Italians.
It was just a lot. We've been doing a lot of Italian shit recently. So I don't know. I just got stuck
there. I got to say, my Italian relatives, so many of them were so fucking racist. And they came over here 100 years ago and they were, you know, shown racism. And then after a few generations, they're the most bigoted fucking racists I know. I grew up hearing the most shitty things from them on dinner, you know, Thanksgiving dinners. I'd be like, holy shit. Who talks like that anymore?
Well, you know, I mean, racism didn't really get beaten down on until the late 60s. So anybody basically born in the decades before that was raised with racism being the norm.
No, but you'd like to think that people who came over here as immigrants in like the 20s who were treated like shit would get it. You'd like to think that they'd be like, oh yeah, grandpa couldn't go to this place or... He wasn't allowed to work in this place because he was Italian. Because Italians were.
Well, they did it to Italians. Sure. They did it to the Irish.
Yes,
they did it to
exactly.
Pretty much any large population that came over.
Exactly. But the difference is after a few generations, nobody knew anymore because they look white.
Well, so they finally became part of the status quo and they got to do it to the new people.
Well, yeah. the Italians took over organized crime and we became all the cops. So, you know, we had it circled the wagons on the whole thing.
We had a symbiotic relationship, the Italians and the Irish.
This explains where I'm involved because my ancestry is Swiss.
You're neutral.
I'm just neutral.
Well, you know, like Brendan's...
learning how to make watches.
Grandparents would take payoffs from my grandparents and look the other way.
Absolutely. So
and then, you know, it worked. It was a good working relationship we had.
Yeah.
So, Greg, so what's your advice for people who come across those who have extremely toxic behavior? Like, what if they can't see that it's happening to them and they're just feeling down all the time? What if they don't know how to get over it, Brendan? What do they do? What if they just – do they need to take lessons from us or something?
Grow a penis, like Brendan said.
There's so many people who have them who don't have to grow them or attach them with Velcro. You know, I don't know that that's a solution.
What's the solution?
Growing
a penis.
Well,
not
literally, but you know, toughen up. How about that? You know.
Yeah. So what does that
mean?
I mean,
if you
toughen
up, if you're
what if they can't?
Then fuck them. Then we don't need them.
I'd like to say, Matt,
put them on the ice floes.
What do you mean? What do you mean they can't? They can't.
They're not necessarily strong enough willed to be able to get it out from behind manipulation. They don't have the mental wherewithal necessarily on how to prevent people from treating them like that. You know, there are people who don't have those capacities, and they just get abused by others. And so that's why people look out for. That's why there's like policemen, you know, to prevent.
Well, yeah, if you know, my next door neighbor, the wife next door, I'm making this up, her husband was a dick and he was beating her, otherwise whatever, and she came to me, I'd help her get out. Sure.
So you didn't tell her to grow a penis?
I might try it first.
Grow one!
He was the one that
we'll
said,
be measuring saying, you know, it over the months as they come.
All I'm saying is that we've gone from, you know, like over here where it's like my next door neighbor's beating his wife and I kind of intervene because whatever, to, you know, that girl at the office, she didn't, I mean, oh my God, she said the horrible, you know, that kind of shit. So the pendulum is, I'm not talking about, you know, whatever. The pendulum's just swung so far over that it's like, everything you say or do, somebody's offended or somebody's upset and they can't deal with it. Like Greg said, they need their safe space and Jesus, you know?
I can see that point of view, but I'm thinking in terms of like legitimate toxicity, people who are actually abusers, who are abusing other people, and they use these methods. But what if you're married to them?
Then get a divorce.
Divorce.
But what if you've been manipulated to the point where it's like, well, this is kind of normal behavior that you accept and you don't know that it's different. What do you do? How do you get help?
Then you're fucked. I don't know. Yeah. Go see somebody.
That's suicide.
Well, I mean,
everybody.
Okay, if you can't get a divorce, then you have to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't live in the world of your feelings. I feel this way. I'm hurt. You gotta do something, even if it's just getting out and going to your mom's house. I mean, at a certain point, if they're so incapable of just doing anything, we should probably cleave them from the herd and move on.
Although it could be like the mom's the abuser and cause you to have that personality so that you keep going from abuser to abuser, you know,
well,
as your
you
life
go,
moves on.
You, then you,
and you don't know any different. Right? So they should be listening
Jesus,
to our show so that they...
They certainly shouldn't be listening to it. You go find Jesus or Muhammad or you do hot yoga... Or you meditate.
What about
you
a good therapist?
I want Greg to do hot yoga.
They could go through well, you know, the thing about therapy is it's kind of pricey, dude.
That's true.
Like if you wanted
it's a lot cheaper to grow a penis, Greg.
The Catholic Church
that's
is kind of pricey.
Well, I mean, you could go meditate in the park for nothing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if we had free healthcare in this country and they could go do whatever the hell they wanted to do or needed to do, that'd be something totally different. But guess what? We don't have that. So it's $180, $250 an hour to go sit and go, and my husband's a dick. Oh, really? Well, that's too bad.
Well, if you had free healthcare, if you had free healthcare, you could get a free penis.
You could.
A penis for free.
You could get a free one at any local cemetery.
Well, there's a lot of stitching it on that, and make it.
Yeah,
work.
That's a lot of work.
Oh, you're talking about a working one. Oh. Sorry.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
A non-rotted one.
Take a penis and put it in your pocket. A dead penis. That's not going to help.
Take a penis, put it in your pocket. I like the song.
Was that Harry Nilsson?
No, it's Harry Nilsson.
Penis.
Okay. I think that should be our next sponsor is Pocket Penis.
I think it's been done.
It's like a good luck charm. It's like a token, you know, like if that toxic person is giving you a hard time.
Like a rabbit's foot?
You just reach in your pocket and you squeeze your pocket penis and it gives you the strength to carry on.
Oh, smack him in the head with it. That would be better.
Or you could just dildo slap
him.
Smack him in the head with it.
A rotting penis. That would learn him. That person wouldn't be so toxic anymore.
That's how you know whether you need to take a shower or not, is if you've got a rotting penis in your pocket.
No, I don't recommend the rotting ones. Just a regular healthy one. Like a latex, you know, not like a real
that's
one.
A healthy regular
a dildo.
One. A latex
a dildo.
One. A real latex one that grows on you.
Yeah. And we could have them in multiple colors. Yeah. Seasonal.
Fuchsia.
Yeah. I think that's the next T-shirt we're gonna have. Disco
polka
jihad,
dots, and then you'd have a true spotted dick,
and pocket penis. Those are our two T-shirts.
Pocket
Girl
penis,
pocket
and
penis.
Spotted dick, which is actually a dessert for those of you who don't know.
Anyway, the title of this episode, it does seem though, like if we're just talking about toxic, like poisonous.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have ever had this thing where you're like feeling bad, you're feeling sick, and you take a hot shower. You feel like a million times better.
Uh-huh.
It's like a curative. I felt so bad some days where I'm like, I can't go to work. I feel terrible. I take a hot shower. I'm like, oh, I'm good.
Well, that means you were affected by toxicity and taking a shower helped you, but it's like, were you personally the toxic one and the shower changed you in that way?
It could be. I was toxic. I was, there's poisons in me.
Okay.
That were making me feel bad.
So, you know, okay. Like, so this is like medicine, bio. Everybody. This is medicine from Dr. Greg. Once again, we've visited the medical offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. And,
well, because I'm a medieval
If you want what ails you to go away, if your depression is affecting you badly, take a shower, and it will have a curative, restorative.
If your yellow bile is overcoming your black bile and your phlegm.
The damn humors.
The humors. If your humors are off, take a hot shower. It works. And then put a leech on your
if
thigh.
Things are coming out of your throat a little bit chunky. Take a shower.
I highly recommend you get into the hot shower and you eat an orange while you're in the shower. Like a
bloodlet.
Like
and while
like
you're
animal.
There, rub a lemon slice on your testicles while
don't
you're
don't do that. That's the bad idea.
I'm trying that tonight. Vitamin C straight to your testicles.
All toxicity removed in a moment. All righty. Well, I think we've
overrun our time.
This is an episode that could have gone for quite a while, actually. I think there are many ways we could go with this. So the client was, are you toxic or do you just need a shower? And I think that we've come to the conclusion that no one's toxic, but everyone needs a shower.
I think everyone's a little toxic and just deal with it.
And deal with it.
Don't write everyone off.
What about the serial killers, Greg?
That's very toxic.
Those are murderers. That's a different thing. Yeah.
I would say that's the height of toxicity.
That's the height of toxicity. That's not Steve at the office, who's kind of a passive aggressive dick in the morning meeting.
But he might be.
You know? And you go home and you go, Steve is so toxic, I can't even deal with my life.
My friend Ted Bundy, he treated me a certain way, and I didn't appreciate it. My friend Ted at the political meeting, he was saying mean things to me. You know, and those toxic traits might actually lead to some serial killers, because they have to live in society and communicate with people, and it may be that they've got certain characteristics that can make you go, oh, maybe Bob at the office is out there whacking people.
Right. Now it's Minority Report. Now we're just precogging all the assholes are serial killers.
Maybe that guy John Wayne Gacy I work with at McDonald's is a serial killer.
He's really a serial killer.
Well,
he's
somebody had to dress up like the clown.
Yeah, he gaslights me at work, so yeah.
It's like, ah, you don't know what you're talking about. Little kids are fun.
Happy Meals are great.
What's that? Happy Meals. Yeah, exactly, Mr. Dahmer. Alrighty, so I want to thank all involved for attending the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. I want to thank Mel Ortiz from Misheard Lyrics for showing up today. The new year is coming, and Greg, Brendan, and I will still be here, hopefully, as the new year arrives. And things will be changing a little bit here. Little changes will be happening in the new year, so get ready for them, everyone. Hold your forts down. Does anybody have anything last comment they want to say before we?
I'm going to transition after the new year to make a really big change.
You're going to go to like another apartment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
And you're going to have to call me Georgia. That's my new name.
Okay.
Because that'll be the state you're living in.
I'll start calling you that now. Just remember to like and subscribe.
Oh, yes. Like and subscribe.
We've never done that, have we? We've never even asked.
You know, I don't understand why people do it on so many shows, because it seems like it's obvious, but obviously you should also have to tell people to do things because they're too stupid sometimes to do them.
That's because I come from the manipulation world, and that's what you have to do. Huh?
I love many podcasts. I've never liked or subscribed to them because I want to listen to them, but I don't press the like button. I'm a dick. I'm toxic.
There are likes underneath the videos that come up on YouTube. There's also the dislikes. Actually, everybody, don't like our videos. Just dislike our videos. That's really all we want.
The dislike doesn't work in YouTube
anymore.
No, I'm serious.
They get rid of it?
It's there, but it doesn't mean anything. It registers absolutely nothing. It doesn't count.
Huh? Oh.
Because people are toxic on YouTube, and they would dislike people, and YouTube went, that's toxic, and they got rid of it. I hate that they got rid of the dislike button. I want to go, I dislike this bullshit.
Yeah, me too. Even from friends. I've had friends on Facebook who send me these bullshit posts. I'm like, don't waste my fucking time. I want to dislike this. But I do want to say, everyone, please support our Patreon and send us as much money as you can. And buy us.
They
Bitcoin.
Can actually send us money through Anchor through subscribing, and they, if they wanted to, they could do that. There's like $1, $5, $10 donations or something they could send. Yeah, but nobody's.
Since we can't get,
no one has sent anything. No one's bought anything from the store. So.
Well, that's like, because we haven't released the Disco Jihad shirt. I'm gonna run the bulls with that thing. People are gonna be running around town wearing Disco Jihad.
Whoop, whoop.
Disco Jihad.
All right, this has been the Toxic Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker.
Your consultation with the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker has ended. You may pay your retainer at www.qsblah.org. Please exit to the right of the water cooler and grab a candy from the front desk. We hope to see you again soon, but you need to leave now. I said leave. Why don't they ever listen? Get out. Get out.